The seventh letter. In his name be he glorified, and there is nothing but it glorifies him with praise. May peace be upon you in God's mercy and blessings forever and ever. My dear brothers, I gather you told Shamle Hafiz to ask me two things. Note, one of the first students of the Risale Noor, his proper name was Tevfik Goksu. He was known as Shamle since he had lived in Damascus for 20 years, where his father had been an army officer. He was born in Barla in 1887 and died there in 1965. The first, like the dissemblers in early times, the people of misguidance of modern times make the marriage of God's messenger, upon whom be blessings and peace, with Zainab a pretext for criticism, considering it to have been to satisfy the lusts of the soul. The answer, God forbid, 100,000 times. Such vile doubts cannot be directed at that lofty one. Yes, he was such that from the age of 15 to 40, when the blood is fiery and exuberant, and the passions of the soul inflamed, he sufficed and was content with a single older woman like Khadija the Great, may God be pleased with her, with complete chastity and purity, as is agreed by friend and foe alike. His then having numerous wives after the age of 40, that is, when bodily heat subsides and the passions are quietened, is evidence proving decisively and self-evidently to those who are even a little fair-minded that such marriages were not to satisfy the carnal appetites, but were for other important reasons and instances of wisdom. One of those instances of wisdom is this. Like his words, the actions, states, conduct, and deeds of God's messenger, peace be upon him, are the sources of religion and the Sharia, and the authority for its injunctions. While the companions transmitted the outward, public things, the transmitters and narrators of the private matters of religion and injunctions of the Sharia, which were manifested from his private conduct in the personal sphere, were his wives. They performed this function. Perhaps half of the personal matters of religion and the injunctions concerning them come from them. That is to say, numerous wives of differing temperament were required to perform this necessary duty. Now let us consider his marriage with Zainab. In connection with the verse, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of God and the seal of the prophets, which is one of the examples given in the third ray of the first light in the 25th word. It is written that, with its many aspects, a single verse states meanings appropriate to the understandings of all classes of men. One class's share of understanding of the above verse is this. According to a sound narration based on his own admission, Zayd, the noble messenger's, upon whom be blessings and peace, servant, whom he addresses my son, divorced his proud wife because he did not find himself equal to her. That is to say, with his perceptiveness, Zayd realized that Zainab had been created with an elevated character different to his, and that it was in her nature to be a prophet's wife. Since he found himself to be by nature unequal to her as a spouse, and this caused incompatibility, he divorced her. At God's command, his messenger, upon whom be blessings and peace, took her. That is, as indicated by the verse, we joined her in marriage to you, showing that it was a heavenly contract. This marriage was out of the ordinary, above external relations, and purely on the orders of divine determining. Thus the most noble messenger, upon whom be blessings and peace, submitted to the decree of divine determining and was compelled to do so. It was not at the behest of carnal desire. The verse, in order that, in future, there may be no difficulty to the believers in the matter of marriage with the wives of their adopted sons, comprises an important injunction of the Sharia, a general instance of wisdom, and a comprehensive general benefit pertaining to this decree of divine determining. It indicates that adults calling the young, my son, is not forbidden, as is the matter of zihar, that is, a man saying to his wife, you are like my mother, so that ordinances should change due to it. Also, great ones looking to their followers and divine messengers looking to their communities and addressing them in fatherly fashion is due to the functions of leadership and messengership. It is not in respect of their human personalities so that it should be inappropriate for them to take wives from them. Another class's share of the understanding of this verse is this: a great ruler looks on his subjects with paternal compassion. If he is a spiritual king holding both outward and inward rule, since his compassion is 100 times greater than that of a father, his subjects look on him as their father, as though they were his real sons. A father's view is not easily transformed into that of a husband, and a girl's view into that of a wife. So, since according to this it is inappropriate in the public view for a prophet to take in marriage the believer's daughters, with the purpose of repelling such a doubt, the Quran says, "On account of divine mercy, the prophet has compassion for you. He deals with you in fatherly fashion, and in the name of messengership, you are like his children. But in regard to his human personality, he is not your father, so that it should be inappropriate for him to take a wife from among you. And if he calls you son, in respect of the rulings of the Sharia, you cannot be his children. The Enduring One, he is the Enduring One." Saeed Nursi.